This is 89.1 WEMU and a good Thursday to you. I'm David Fair, and on the other end of our phone line, our guest and co-host of Cinema Chat, Russ Collins. And how are you on this fine Thursday?
Well, all right. It's coming up on Memorial Day weekend, and hey, what could be better than that?
Summer is
on our horizon, and we've kind of experienced summer already, so it's good. And the movies are coming back in exciting ways, and NPR has been talking about the fact that MGM was acquired by Amazon, which is kind of a big deal.
Almost $9
billion. And a little curious to a lot of folks.
Yeah, it is curious. And I mean, Amazon is spreading its reach just about everywhere in all aspects of our life. And I think there might be something as too big.
Well, that could be. And we certainly know that big things fall very hard. But I think we're pretty early in the growth of Amazon, so it'll be up to our children and grandchildren to watch the fall of Amazon. But they just acquired a very large library of things that don't include Wizard of Oz and Singin' in the Rain, which were original MGM productions, which is the studio that Amazon bought.
So who controls those now?
Those are controlled by Warner Media,
okay.
and that's because of Ted Turner. Ted Turner bought the MGM library back in the 80s, and another investor by the name of Kirk Kerkorian actually bought and sold MGM three times, but he also merged it with other libraries. So UA, United Artists, which has the James Bond franchise, what Amazon purchased. Orion Pictures, Goldwyn Entertainment, Motion Picture Corporation of America, all of their libraries. So they have over 2,000 movie titles. The Silence of the Lambs, Sid and Nancy, Dumb and Dumber, Fargo, The Graduate are all part of that library.
There's a whole lot of money tied up in those movies.
Absolutely. It also includes TV shows. And it is said that the product library that's owned by MGM, which again doesn't include the stuff that the classic studio produced before 1986, so all of those 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s Hollywood classics are not included in that, but they have the largest library of motion pictures and television shows. And it includes more product from Hollywood that was produced since 1948 than any other library source. So that's a pretty amazing purchase for Amazon.
And we can assume that most all of that will be streaming at a place near you soon.
That's right. And Netflix has been a little more friendly up to this point to theaters than Netflix has. So those things might be available to motion picture theaters that want to show repertory program or classic program. So we'll see. We'll see how that develops over time. Hey, the concessions are back at the Michigan Theater. We're super happy about it with the relaxed COVID restrictions, especially for people who are vaccinated. We're very happy to have concessions back. So our popcorn is there. And we've also got tickets on sale for the big art house event of the summer, which is In the Heights. That's going to be opening on June 11th, but you can get your tickets right now. And we've already sold hundreds of tickets.
Now, this is the Lin-Manuel Miranda film, the guy from Hamilton, right?
That's right. This was his musical before he did Hamilton. And he actually started it as a college product, but it had a long off-Broadway and then Broadway run. In the Heights is a pretty amazing piece about the neighborhood that he grew up in, Washington Heights, a Hispanic neighborhood in New York City, in Manhattan, as a matter of fact. So I'm very excited about this, and a lot of other folks are too. And you can come to the Michigan Theater to see it. We're going to have it on the big screen in the old Michigan Theater Auditorium. So we're excited about that. Lots of social distancing Elegant Surroundings. It's going to be a terrific event. Opens on June the 11th, and you can get tickets now, and I would suggest that you do that.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going pretty quickly. You are listening to Cinema Chat on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU. David Fair, and we're talking with Michigan Theater Foundation Executive Director Russ Collins, and I know that there are a lot of kids and teens really looking forward to Cruella.
Yeah, so Cruella is playing at the local multiplexes. It's also playing on Disney Plus. And Cruella, the critical consensus is Cruella can't quite answer the question of why its title character needed an origin story, but it is a kind of dazzling visual feast. And so we'll look forward to that.
I personally would love to know kind of the dysfunction that created Cruella.
That's right. Well, this is set in the 1970s of London. It stars Emma Stone as the young woman who becomes Cruella de Vil. And it's a live-action movie, so it's not an animation. And it's set in the 70s London. It also stars Emma Thompson as a fashion designer that was very famous at the time. And Emma Thompson has won 2 Academy Awards. And
I was going to say, this is a pair of Emmas worth seeing.
That's right, and Emma Stone has won one. And so the two have kind of a collegial and competitive relationship. And Cruella, the origin stories of Cruella de Vil from 101 Dalmatians is playing at your local multiplex. Also playing at your local multiplex, but also playing downtown at the State Theater is a film that's gotten great reviews. I'm looking forward to A Quiet Place Part 2.
Can this be as good as the first, which really took Hollywood by surprise and by storm?
Well, critics are saying it's very competitive and compatible with the original. John Krasinski, who starred in A Quiet Place, actually directed this. He has a very small part in a flashback scene, but the rest of the cast, or much of the rest of the cast, is back. Emily Blunt,
that's Millicent his wife, yeah.
Simons, and Noah Jupe reprised their role, and Cillian Murphy and Jamon Hussu are added to the cast in a very favorable way. It premiered actually over a year ago on March the 8th, 2020, just before the country shut down because of COVID. So it has literally been delayed for 15 months.
Can you imagine the frustration as a filmmaker for that to happen?
Oh my gosh. And absolutely. But it's been worth the wait. The reviews are very strong. Rotten Tomato gives it a 92% positive review. The consensus is a nerve-wracking continuation of its predecessor, A Quiet Place Part 2, expands the terrifying world of the original film without losing track of its own heart. And it's about these monsters that have taken residence in the post-apocalyptic world that this movie's set in. And they're blind, but they have very acute sense of hearing. It is a thriller. It is a creepy film that's definitely worth seeing. A Quiet Place 2 opens tomorrow everywhere, so you can go check it out. But we hope you come down to the State Theater. We've got a very, very special lineup for that. We're going to continue with our screening of The Dry, which is this Australian film that stars Eric Bana. I loved it. I really liked it very, very much. If you're a fan of British mystery detective TV shows, you'll definitely like this a lot. It's about a guy who's a federal agent, a federal police officer in Australia, who goes back for a funeral in his hometown in this very, very dry, small town part of Australia. He relives an episode in his youth where he and another young man are accused of murdering one of their classmates, and they didn't. But getting to the bottom of it is very interesting in a small town.
While obviously suffering PTSD, yeah,
absolutely. So, The Dry, I really enjoyed the film. It's directed by Robert Connolly. It's got a great cast, again headed by Eric Bana, who's very, very good.
Are people enjoying Toni Collette and Dream Horse?
You know, they are. The audiences are a little smaller than I expected it to be. This is a really heartwarming family drama that you don't even have to take kids to enjoy. And it's about this small town in the UK who decide that they're going to buy and train and race a racehorse as a way to kind of bind the community and create a positive dynamic in this little town. And it really works. Very heartwarming. It's based on a true story, and you want to go check it out. We've got another documentary called The Truffle Hunters, which is about a bunch of old Italian men and their dogs who look for these very rare white truffles. We also have some classic films this weekend. The Big Lebowski, everybody's favorite cult film. Tyler Perry's For Colored Girls, Back to the Future, and Hitchcock's North by Northwest. It's a big holiday weekend, and you can spend it at the movies.
Well, enjoy your extended weekend, Russ. I know you'll be working, but while I'm off, I'll be thinking of you. For Russ Collins, I'm David Fair, and we thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Cinema Chat. We'll do it all again next Thursday, right here on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.
See you at the movies, and ta-ta from Hollywood.